City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 338. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell Fain.
That's my broadcaster voice. And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Pretend
I don't know if I have a broadcaster voice.
You just do naturally.
Do I?
No, I have to butch it up a little bit.
Yeah, because I don't normally talk like
I
this.
Listen, when I listen to these podcasts, I listen to my voice. Oh, God, I can't believe anybody ever hires me to talk in public.
Really?
I mean, doesn't everybody have that sort of feeling that when you hear your voice,
yeah.
It doesn't sound like you?
Yeah.
I'm like, who's that person?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Doesn't sound like what we hear in our head.
No.
I bet Barry Manilow likes to listen to his voice.
I love Barry.
Barry Manilow, as Mitchell, I teased him since I now know he's a fan-a-low.
I am. Unabashed. I have a funny story about it.
All right. Well, you're going to tell it, but I just want to let everybody know he's coming to the Rosemont Theater December 17th and 18th. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, he's obviously on tour.
Yeah.
So other people can see him, but just in time for the holidays. I think that would be a fun thing for us to do.
So fun.
Let's hook it
He's
up.
He's so fun. Okay, so here's my story about Barry Manilow. Like, mm-hmm. I was a kid of the 70s, so he was huge, right? So mm-hmm. I loved him. And then there was a certain point where he stopped being cool in any way, shape, or form, right? Like, if you were...
Like when Bandstand went off the air.
Right, and also just when you got to college and it was the 80s and suddenly it was like alternative and, you know, and dry and all that sort of stuff. And so suddenly it was not cool to admit that you liked Barry Manilow anymore.
Yeah.
So then...
It was like Bowie, but not Barry.
Yeah, you could like Bowie, but not Barry, right? It just became schmaltzy, and it just became something else. So, of course, I secretly still loved him, but, you know, you're trying to be cool when you're in college. Anyway, a friend of mine worked for the college radio station and got literally like 10 free tickets to see Barry Manilow at this outdoor concert place in Massachusetts called Great Woods. I don't think it exists anymore. Anyway.
In Massachusetts?
In Massachusetts, just over the border from Providence. Mm-hmm. And so... We went, about like 10 of us went, and you could like bring wine and food, and you sit on the lawn, and we were like, oh, this will be a goof. Like, we were all being like over it and cynical and like too cool for school. And we're like, oh, we'll go and we'll goof on Barry Manilow, but it'd be fun to hang out and drink wine.
Right.
About three songs in, we had to completely abandon any pretense that we weren't totally fucking into it.
Yeah.
And by the time he played Mandy, we're all just crying. we at the point where we played Weekend in New England, we're like running up to the stage screaming, "I love you, Barry." I mean, like, and that was the point where I was like, "I'm never gonna pretend I don't love Barry Manilow."
Yeah,
I love him.
I love that Will and Grace episode.
Oh yeah, when they're waiting online to be found.
With Sarah
I fucking Gilbert. Love him, and also to this day, my sister, who's always been sort of like a R&B, hip hop, sort of edgier music person, we have this little thing that we love to do. Like, our favorite thing to do, my sister and I, is run errands. Like, whenever we hang out, when I go visit her,
my brother and I do that too.
I'm like, save your errands, because we'll spend a day, we'll get coffee, and we'll have lunch, and we'll go to the Gap to return the sweater, and we'll go pick up something.
That's
here.
Exactly. We go to the bookstore, we go to the Walgreens. We love to do the Walgreens.
Love it.
And
so we love
the
it.
Target.
So our ritual is we get in the car, and the first thing we do is put on It's a Miracle by, you know that song, by Barry Manilow, and we rock out like it's Nirvana.
Yeah.
It's our favorite thing to do in the world. So I'm a big Barry fan.
All right, well, we're going to hook it up. And I don't know if he's given interviews or not. But
I know, but he's never really come out. That's the thing about Barry Manilow. I mean, he's so clearly gay, but he's never come out.
No?
No.
Really?
No. Not officially.
Is he just one of those assumed things?
I would think so. Although I bet you, like, the women who loved him in the 70s who still love him now have no idea.
Yeah.
Would never even dawn on them. Like, but having seen him walk down the street.
Like the men who loved Rosie O'Donnell before she came out?
Right.
Who were those men?
Who were those men? Exactly. But, you know, having seen him walk down the street in Boys Town with his boyfriend once as I followed him.
I just thought he was out. No. I just thought he was out, like, you know, I mean, David Hyde Pierce hadn't come out, but then he kind of did, and it was like, really? There's a need to come out? Or like Rosie coming out? Like, there's a need to come out? Right. I mean, I guess Ellen had kind of a need to come out, but even that seemed redundant.
Yeah, I feel Ellen like was being dragged out.
It's not like Anderson Cooper when he finally comes out and people will be...
I think people would be surprised.
Some people would be really surprised, and those of us in the gay community would not be at all, and...
You know who I found out is gay?
Who?
I won't say how, but I'm totally outing him now. Although I think a lot of people might know this. Is that Zachary Quinto?
Oh, is he really?
Mm-hmm.
From Heroes?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah. You are totally outing him.
I am outing him.
I don't think he's out. Yes. He's so sexy and
he's
super
so
cute.
He's so sexy. A friend of mine spent some time with him in London.
Don't sue us.
No, I mean, not...
This is purely
not,
Mitchell's opinion.
This is my opinion. Anyway,
but
yes.
Mitchell has not slept with him, so
no,
it's
neither
not
did my friend. My friend didn't sleep with him. They just hung out.
In a court of law.
He's queer. I'm just saying.
Oh, he's super cute.
He's so cute.
Now, he could play a good...
Gendaloon?
A Gendaloon.
Yeah, you better believe it.
People like who don't know who a Gendaloon is.
I know, so the last
Zachary
show.
Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, a Gendaloon.
Is he Italian? Quinto.
I don't know.
He's got all that dark hair.
Yeah, he's very swarthy.
He's got to be like chest hairy and Barry and...
He's swarthy.
I mean, Barry as in B-E-A-R.
Yeah. I don't know if he's...
As opposed to B-A-R-R.
He'd be more like an otter.
Like an otter, he is kind of an otter.
He's lean.
Kind of that slick hair.
Bears, I tend to think of as sort of bigger boys, but like I think an otter cub.
Maybe an otter.
Yeah.
How cute is that?
I know.
His hair kind of's got that sleek, wet look.
Yes, he
to
does.
It.
Stop yeah. it. He is.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he is cute.
I have to say, I was totally converted. Steven Rader and I went to go see the Star Trek, you know, and the new Star Trek. Oh, it's so good, Mitchell. It's good. You need to really see it. You can come downstairs and watch
boy?
It online.
Who's the other boy that they just sort of just been outed on the blogs? There was a,
I don't know, all the gossip. Gossip.
Yeah, where
girls,
there was pictures
boys.
Of him. No, not the Gossip Girls. He's on this really good show, actually, a new show called White Collar.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
It's great. It's sort of like a To Catch a Thief sort of thing, and he's like this jewel thief who then ends up having to like to avoid going to jail. He helps out the good guys, and he's this incredible Matt Bomer is his name, and he's. Just, and there have just been these pictures of him making out with boys.
Well, you know what's so cool is that, you know, our today on our show, I know many of you are very excited and anticipating this. Cheyenne Jackson is on the show today.
Yeah, yummy.
And, you know, he's such a great leading man of stage and film. He played Mark Bingham, you know, in United 93, the gay rugby player who was one of the heroes of that. And also now he's been on television shows before, but he is... about to be a regular on 30 Rock, which is just starting out.
So exciting.
So exciting. So he's like this great leading man of stage, screen, and television. And now Cabaret, which is why we're having him on. He's done a brand new CD
exciting.
After his first Cabaret gig with Michael Feinstein.
Do we know when the CD gets released?
It is released this week.
Really? So I can buy it.
You can go to your iTunes right now. Just came out yesterday, so it's ready to download in iTunes or buy it at Amazon or go into a store, independent music store, and buy it. But what I love, and he and I talk about this a little bit, is just that we maybe are in a new, it is a new day. It's a new dawn. It's a new
day.
Because he epitomizes... you know, confidence and masculinity and leading man qualities, and he's gay, and he's openly gay, and he's always been openly gay, and you know, and I just think when we hear that there are these closeted gay male stars, we won't say anything, potentially Tom Cruise, Hugh Jackman, any of the others, that, you know, you could be authentically who you are and still
be
have
successful.
This huge career. Now, could you have 20 years ago? I don't know.
No, probably not.
But today, thank God.
Well, I have three words for you. N-P-H.
Neil Patrick Harris. Well, we talk about that. We talk about Neil Patrick Harris. We talk about T.R. Knight.
Because
he
freaking wins, Neil Patrick Harris.
You know, but
Cheyenne.
And Cheyenne, you know, and T.R. Knight. It's like these guys are finally going, you know, this is who I am. I'm acting.
And Alan Cummings and John Barrowman.
And Alan Cummings, who's bisexual.
Right, but he's married to a man.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Barrowman.
Yeah, John Barrowman from the sexy BBC show.
Right, Torchwood.
Yep. So there's all these great guys, you know, now that defy that it, oh, it can't just be the women. It can't be the Angelina Jolie, the Megan Fox, the Portia de Rossi, the sexy male fantasy lesbian.
Right.
To become the mega stars, the bankable stars. And it's a new time. And I just am so glad that that Cheyenne is kind of at the forefront of that and is pioneering that and showing and is a great role model.
Yeah, and part of it is, you know, I think part of it, fortunately for Cheyenne and Neil Patrick Harris, is that it's not going to work for everybody.
Right.
But the two of them have such enormous amounts of personal charisma.
Yeah.
That it's very difficult for anyone to dislike them.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching them, they're so effortlessly charming in a way that not all performers are. You know, performers have different qualities.
Right.
But they have they both have a quality that is so disarmingly likable.
And open.
Yeah.
And accessible. And they're also super talented.
You know, it's the reason why Ellen's been so successful, because it's very difficult not to like Ellen.
Yeah.
Another person in her place who, like Rosie, you know, it's sort of easy not to like Rosie because she can be sort of abrasive and sort of unpleasant, where it's, you're just a misanthrope if you don't like Ellen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's true. That's very funny.
No, it's true. Why wouldn't you like her? That she's so loving and charming, and her show is so positive energy, and
yeah,
she never says a negative word about anything or anybody. She's, you know, you have to be just a real hater.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about Neil Patrick Harris or Cheyenne Jackson. These people have an enormous amount of personal charm.
Yeah.
And that helps.
It does help. And it's a great way.
It also helps when producers hire them.
Right.
Because you know what? Cheyenne and Neil Patrick Harris can be as charming as they want, but if nobody hires them.
Right. Well, they're getting hired. Cheyenne has more work than he knows what to do.
He's also freaking talented.
And he's talented and he's gorgeous. And he's on the Queercast today, folks. A nice long interview talking about everything that's going on in his life. And he's in a long-term relationship. So to show stability, you know, Ellen's married now. TR, well, he dumped his little 27.
So is MPH.
So and Neil Patrick Harris as well. Yeah. So it's really speaks well that we want to preserve our relationships, folks. If we want to be in them, then we want to preserve them. Yeah. And we can do them as well as straight people. Or as badly, you know,
it's equal opportunity. I couldn't be happier being single.
Yeah, and some people are single and want to be single.
Delighted
to be single. And Cheyenne, if you ever are single, Mitchell
I would reassess at that point.
So we're going to do the news, tell you what's going on in the theater world here in Chicago, and then we'll be back with Cheyenne Jackson on the Queercast.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. In San Diego, Bronte Kelly, a gay man, said that he was victim of a hate crime after he was walking outside of Baja Betty's eatery and a man hit him in the back of the head. Kelly needed 18 stitches to close a wound and lost 4 of his front teeth. Police said that he acknowledged being attacked, but did not say a hate crime had occurred.
Openly gay Jack Price, the victim of a brutal bashing in Queens, New York, ended up in Booth Memorial Hospital after severing a broken jaw, fractured ribs, and a lacerated spleen. Daniel Rodriguez, 21, and Daniel Ailman, 26, have been arrested.
In Florida, gay rights activists have praised the introduction of California Congressman Pete Stark's Every Child Deserves a Family Act, a measure that would urge states to allow gay couples to adopt children or take in foster kids. Florida is the only state that explicitly bans gay people from adopting.
In Washington, D.C., a 20-day restraining order shut down the so-called men's parties, gay gatherings that took place in a local townhouse. D.C. Attorney General Peter Nichols sought the order days after a man was found dead from an apparent fall. There were rumors that men's parties, which Nichols said did not have a business license, operated as an all-male sex club.
In Carlinville, Illinois, Southwestern High School English teacher Dan DeLong has been suspended after he had students read an article about homosexuality in the animal kingdom. The students read the article, The Gay Animal Kingdom, from the June 7, 2006 edition of Seed, a science and culture magazine. DeLong is keeping mum until he speaks with a union representative.
In Williamsburg, Virginia, the College of William and Mary elected its first trans homecoming queen. The queen, Jessie Vassold, said that a friend asked to nominate me, and we really just wanted to see if I'd even be put on the ballot.
In world news, in England, lesbian police sergeant Jasmine Stewart has filed a lawsuit against the British Transit Police, alleging sexual orientation discrimination. Stewart claimed that fellow officers became hostile after she requested that her girlfriend, Mahari Gilchrist, work the same shift she does. In court, Benjamin Uduhe, who represented the police, said that the arrangement would have been inappropriate and added that there was no culture of homophobia. The case is continuing.
The U.S. has criticized a tough anti-gay bill being considered in Uganda. The measure would persecute those who knowingly rented property to a gay person. Homosexuality is illegal in the country.
Kenya is launching a survey to find out how many gay men live in the country, even though homosexuality is illegal. The National AIDS STD Control Program plans to begin the six-month research in December to help stop the spread of HIV. The study's results would facilitate targeted interventions such as condom distribution and voluntary HIV testing. In Kenya, same-sex acts are punishable by up to 14 years in prison.
And in entertainment news, trans man Chaz Bono, formerly Chastity Bono, who has been undergoing gender change since March, said that the process has lowered my voice, fat redistributes, muscle growth, hair growth, sex drive increases. However, despite the changes, Bono said, I always felt like a male from the time I was a child. There wasn't much feminine about me.
Late actress Bea Arthur left $300,000 to New York City's Ali Forney Center, the country's largest organization dedicated to homeless LGBT youth. It plans to purchase a building to house 12 youths and name it in her honor.
Actress Charlize Theron engaged in a long lip lock with a woman at a fundraiser for One Times One, which provides food, assistance, and services to Ethiopian and Rwandan children. A female audience member during a live auction bid $140,000 to kiss Theron. That was a lot of money, so the kiss lasted for 20 seconds.
In Details Magazine, gay actor Sir Ian McKellen talked about being a second-class citizen when it comes to marriage and having children. When asked why he had not decided to have a civil partnership, the 70-year-old McKellen said, "It's never crossed my mind that it'd ever be possible for me. That's the scar that I and so many others bear. We believed ourselves to be second-rate citizens for so long. The idea of being able to say, this is my husband, these are my children, was not an option." And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Mega Minute. The critical buzz, word of mouth, and heavyweight names, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, etc., racing to attach themselves to the indie drama Precious, are so overwhelming that it's become a movie that arrives with enormous expectations. You sit there in a bit of a show-me-the-money mood, but boy, does this movie live up to its hype. Director Lee Daniels, who describes himself as a little homo, a little Euro, and a little ghetto, working with a script adaptation by Jeffrey Fletcher of the book by bisexual author Sapphire, the official title of the movie is Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, has wrought an intensely moving underdog story that hits all its melodramatic marks and shoots over those too. It's one of those movies you can't wait to talk about afterwards. This tale of an unloved, 350-pound, illiterate, 16-year-old black high school teen in Harlem, raped and pregnant for the second time by her abusive father, is unbearably bleak. But the movie has given its title character the gift of optimism. There's a ray of hope at the end of this hideous journey for both Precious and the film audience. The movie is set in 1987, and when we first see Precious play with great intuitiveness by Gabby Sidibe in her acting debut, she's walking down the street with her mouth set in a closed-in pout, staring out at the hostile world with watchful eyes. In addition to economic and cultural restraints, Precious also has a contentious, to say the least, relationship with her abusive, horrendous mother, Mary. Monique, in stand-up comic Monique, who gives a career-altering performance. Boy, does she ever. And she is also Precious's biggest obstacle. I can't talk. I'm just back from vacation. Leave me alone. Anyway, to escape from these travails, Precious has developed a huge fantasy life, a behavior that will be instantly recognizable for this disenfranchised and especially the queer community. It really hit home with me. When a tough but determined teacher intuits there's more to Precious than meets the eye and gets her enrolled in an alternative school, the audience hopes rise, and cautiously Precious comes into her own, blossoming under the care of her patient instructor, Ms. Rain, played by illuminist Paula Patton, whom Precious soon learns is a lesbian, and a tough but caring social worker, played with great finesse by Mariah Carey, who lets go of her diva drag. Daniels brings an innate gay sensibility to the material that queer audiences will instantly recognize and embrace. Precious is certainly one of the heaviest going movies of the year, but audiences ready to be challenged by deeper fare will be amply rewarded with an emotionally cathartic experience rare in cinema. It's a must-see. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies of Mega Minute.
I'm here with a cast member of Mel Brooks' brand new Broadway musical, Young Frankenstein. May I just say that you look fabulous? Mel Brooks' last show, The Producers, was a smash hit on Broadway and won a record 12 Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us just a little taste of the show? Lovely.
The classic Mel Brooks movie is alive and now playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater, Young Frankenstein. Now through December 13th. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 2nd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. You met him as George Gershwin in George Gershwin Alone, then as Frederick Chopin. Now, Hershey Felder returns to Chicago as the greatest composer of them all, Ludwig von Beethoven in Beethoven, as I knew him, featuring some of the composer's most well-known works. Don't miss Beethoven, as I knew him, playing November 13th through December 20th at Drury Lane Water Tower Place. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Writers Theatre presents Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, directed by artistic director Michael Halberstam. Hamlet, Shakespeare's greatest drama, is retold from the perspective of his schoolmates. Experience the original breakout hit from four-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheatre.org.
About Face Theatre presents the XYZ Festival of New Works, now through November 7th at venues all over Chicago. Playing now, don't miss the highly anticipated The Flowers by Obie Award-winning playwright Adam Bach, the story of two gay men and their theater company. Get tickets and information for both shows by visiting aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
I'm Amy Armstrong.
I'm Freddie Allen.
And you're listening to WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Empty, everyone's gone someplace. I pick you up, and in the trunk I've packed a cooler and a two-day suitcase. 'Cause there's a place we like to drive, way out in the country. 5 miles out of the city limit, we're singing, and your hands upon my knees. So we're okay, we're fine. Baby, I'm here to stop your crying. Chase all the ghosts from your head. I'm stronger than the monster beneath your bed. I'm smarter than the tricks played on your heart. We'll look at them together, then we'll take them apart. Adding up a total of a love that's true. Multiply life.
The talented and handsome Cheyenne Jackson has so many new projects, it's hard to keep them all straight, so it's a good thing he's gay. He delighted audiences in Xanadu, movingly portrayed Mark Bingham in United 93, and currently, and I do mean currently, just opened last night, starring on Broadway in Finian's Rainbow. Earlier this year, Cheyenne, after tackling Broadway, television, film, he finally entered into the world of cabaret, and his partner in crime was none other than the keeper of the American Songbook, Michael Feinstein. The show was the power of two, and now we can all share in that show as the CD has been released this week. And we are just so thrilled to have Cheyenne on for the first time to talk about all of the adventures of his life. It's one big, huge journey. Hey, Cheyenne, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
You must be tired.
I am tired, but I'm, as the kids say, living the dream. So
you are.
Just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. So tell me, first of all, how was your big opening night last night of the revival of Finian's Rainbow?
It was so fulfilling and so great. You know, we did this at the City Center Encores in New York a few months back, five or mm-hmm. 6 months ago. And I've done a couple of those shows, those concert version type shows where, you know, there's buzz about it moving to Broadway, but a lot of times that doesn't happen. And so the fact that this actually came to fruition and then in such a full-bodied, beautiful, heartwarming way, and then to wake up this morning to literally across-the-board raves, it's just it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, but one that I'll take, definitely, because we worked really hard. I mean, it's an old-fashioned musical written in 1946,
mm-hmm.
and we had our work, you know, cut out for us to make that dusty old dialogue feel contemporary and relatable. So I feel absolutely great. Thank you.
Is this the first revival of that show?
It was revived once in 1960.
Okay.
And so this is the first one that anybody alive remembers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There'll be some of those old gays who will say, I was there.
That's true. But that wasn't recorded, so this is definitely going to be, I think, to many people, the definitive revival of the show, and I just couldn't be more happy and proud to be a part of that.
Wow. Well, let's stay on Broadway for a little while, because obviously that was where you really staked some big claim as a new bright, shining star on Broadway, and I know for the gay community, Xanadu was such a moment, and for you, kind of, I don't know, it's not really a Peggy Sawyer moment for you, because you definitely did the show, then had to leave the show, from what I understand, because of a film, and then what happened that flung you back onto some skates for opening night?
Well, I was, like I said, schedule-wise, it wasn't working out, and then... In the 11th hour, just a couple of days before opening, the guy who replaced me, because I couldn't do it, he fell and broke his leg. And I had to, the director called me up, whom I'd worked with prior on the show, All Shook Up, said, you know what, no one else can do this quick enough. Can you come in for a few weeks and just help us open, and then we'll just kind of figure out something. And oh, my heart sank and my heart leapt at the same time, because I love the show, but also I thought, oh man, I don't know if I can pull this off, the skating and just a new cast. But I went and saw it that night with Carrie Butler, whom I had seen in other things, but never, I hadn't seen her performance of this yet, because Jane Krakowski actually was my original Kira. And in my mind, she was the definitive Kira, so I had to kind of be convinced. They took me to the show. I saw Carrie Butler in it. She was hilarious and just so fantastic. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And I did. I went into the show in 2 days. And, you know, it was kind of a week-to-week basis there. And then James was more injured than previously thought. And I ended up staying. So, yeah, it was one of those theater moments where you just got to just go with it. The show must go on. And, yeah, Xanadu was so fulfilling and so... You know, a lot of bad buzz, a lot of naysayers thinking, how can you make a musical about the worst movie of all time in many people's minds? We rocked it, and it was wonderful 15 months of my life. It was great.
Oh, it's and let me tell you, I love the show, and I am a huge O&J fan. I mean, you know, Cheyenne, just a little tidbit for you. She was my first kiss in my dream when I was like 10, because I had gone to see Xanadu. So see?
Yes.
All comes gay full circle for me.
And many a sapphic sister.
And many a sapphic sister. So speaking of Jane Krakowski, the new big news is that you're joining the cast of 30 Rock. Who are you playing, and when is that starting?
My first episode is going to air on November 12th. And they really thrive over there on 30 Rock on the element of surprise. So I'm sworn to secrecy in terms of my character in the arc. But I will say that I definitely feel like I'm at the cool kids table, because this is, to me, the holy grail of comedy. It's just, it's smart and urbane and subversive. And I got a call from Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who are the executive producers. And, you know, that doesn't happen every day. So they wanted to talk to me about this part. And I jumped at the chance. It's just, all I ever wanted to do was to be on a TV show like that, that's critically acclaimed, but is just so witty. And then also do a Broadway show. And the fact that they're happening simultaneously is, it's pretty mind blowing. I film during the day, and then I go rush to the theater, and then I, you know, get my costume on and I do the Broadway show. I'm more tired than I've ever been in my life, but I'll be the last person to complain about it, because it's what I always wanted to do.
Well, and it's so fantastic that 30 Rock films from New York City, and you can be there, you know, sleeping in your own bed, so to speak, every night, which is not something that always happens for an artist or a performer. And you've been in a relationship for 10 years.
That's a
lifetime in GLBT relationships. What's the secret? I mean, obviously some longevity there.
Yes.
You're very young. And
I'm youngish, 34. Mm-hmm. But we have been together a really long time. The secret is a lot of therapy and Valium and tears. No, I'm kidding. the secret to a successful relationship is communication. And you really have to truly have the other person's back in every situation. And Monty is my biggest supporter. He's the only person on the planet that truly has my best interest at heart and knows me better than anybody else. So when you have an ally like that, and someone who he's the first person I want to tell anything to, and the only person whose opinion matters to me, then you can make anything work. Schedule-wise, it's a bear because he's a physicist and he has a very, very busy life and busy schedule and has to get up really early. But, you know, we make it work. And we have a big dog. We have a 110-pound Rottweiler that we adopted from the shelter about 6 years ago, and she goes with me to the theater. And we, you know, it's the three of us, you know, are quite the sight lumbering down 9th Avenue. But it's our little family, and it's what makes all of this hard work, you know, worthwhile. So, yeah,
and
it's great.
You're not a big city guy. I mean, do you feel like you are a big city guy now, or are you still kind of that, you know, young kid who was
in Idaho,
dreaming the dream in the Midwest?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Idaho, and in the Northwest, it was, you know, a really small town, 1,200 people in the town. My parents still live there. Just incredibly rural. We lived on 40 acres, and for a time, we had no running water, and we had an outhouse, and I mean, very little house on the prairie. I'll always be that guy. I always keep those sensibilities, and having a childhood that removed and that pure, and because it truly was, has really shaped the kind of person I am. That being said, I'm definitely a New Yorker now. You know, they say you have to live in New York for 10 years to be considered a New Yorker. That's kind of the rule. We've been here 7.5, and I definitely feel at ease and at home here. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe the fourth year I'd been here. I traveled somewhere And I flew home, and I got off the plane in New York, and the scream of the cabs and the bustling, the same things that used to feel kind of overwhelming and claustrophobic, I kind of exhaled and like, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm definitely a New York boy now.
Well, if you say New York and you say theater, probably one of the next avenues to explore is the world of cabaret. And I am very surprised why it took you so long. Why did it take so long for you to kind of tap on the cabaret door?
Well, a lot of my peers and people I really respect and stuff had given me a lot of advice. And I've seen a lot of people who are contemporaries of mine really rush into that not fully prepared. It's not something you can take lightly. I didn't want to just put myself out there in a venue. You know, Cheyenne sings the songs of Rodgers and Hart. Or, you know, hey, everybody, well, I'm Cheyenne, and I did this song in this show, and this show I did this song. And
right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but my good friend Michael McElroy told me, don't do a cabaret show until you have something to say.
Hmm.
And quite honestly, I didn't feel like I had anything to say yet. I was gaining experience and gaining perspective and a point of view. Last year, I thought, you know what? The time is right. I'm going to do this. I thought, you know, where should I go? What venue would I think be best? And I said, well, let's start with the most respected, the most expensive, the most highbrow and the most discerning, intelligent audience, and that's Feinstein. So I thought, let's do it. Let's go big or go home.
Yeah.
So I put this show together, and it was really, really therapeutic and wonderful, and it sold out, and I added a show. And then throughout this process, really became great friends with Michael, and whom I'd been a fan of for a long time. Loved his Sinatra project. Loved his – he's just a savant when it comes to American songbook. I've never – of course, you know, I tell people it's just amazing his breadth of knowledge and that dedication to the purity of this music and of this art form. It's very seductive to listen to him just talk about this music and how much it means to him and preserving it. That was very appealing to me. And then we really bonded. We come from different walks of life, but I've never had a more easy friendship and work relationship. So we decided to do the show together. We brought songs to the table. Many of our songs were similar. We didn't tell each other what we were going to pick. It just flowed. It was one of those things that you can't put your finger on. It was a great run. And then critical and box office success, I said, you know, we should record this.
Yeah.
We put so much work and time into the whole process and the arrangements and everything. So we did. And I can't believe my first album outside of a cast album happens to be with, you know, the wonderful Michael Feinstein. I'm no dummy.
Well, you know, it's true though that, many of our listeners know, I know Michael pretty well, and Michael is a good old Midwest boy. You're a Western boy, or, you know, Northwest boy. So, and there is a purity to him that I experience in you, the amount that I know you. I don't know you personally like I know him, but I know much of your work. So, I'm not surprised. How did you know that the voices were going to go together? Or did you say, let's get together and sing for a bit, or,
you know, that's a good question, because I didn't know how they would fit. My voice is incredibly bright. My sound is very distinct, and he has this rich, beautiful, dark texture to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite know how they would blend. It was actually at a dinner party where we first bonded. I told the story before, but I leaned back in one of his chairs to tell a story, and being the bull in a china shop that I am, I broke the chair into a million shards, and it turned out to be a French 18th century chair, which I'm
of
sure
course
costs more than I could ever purchase. Anyway, of course, he's just so nonplussed by that and laughed and had a great sense of humor. We ended up in his den, and he was playing the piano, and I just started singing. Everybody kind of just spontaneously. It was one of those great dinner parties where it was really relaxed. I started singing, and he was playing, and then he sang, and we thought, ooh, this is something.
Mm-hmm.
When we decided to do the show, we had our first rehearsal. We sang together. We both stopped and looked at each other at the same time because the blend was out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
The yin and yang of the bright and the dark, coupled with our each other's musicality. Both of us love harmonies. We love to flip-flop and change, you know, change up the melody. And it was...
Change up who's on top. That's okay, Cheyenne. You can say it.
It's 2009. You got to be versatile.
That's true. Well, speaking of versatility, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, the CD, and it's out, guys, this week. The CD is called The Power of Two, and there are so many artists that maybe you would expect composers. Let me say that. There are composers that you would expect to hear Michael singing and Cheyenne singing. And yet, the title track, Power of Two, is an acoustic lesbian duo that we know as the Divine Indigo Girls. And I have to imagine that you brought that to the table because I don't know that Michael owns too many Indigo Girls CDs.
He does now, but
he does now.
Didn't. Yeah, no, I had a dream one night, and I've always been... I take my dreams very seriously. Now that maybe sounds strange, but I dreamt that we were singing this song, and this popped into my head, Michael singing The Power of Two, and I thought, well, there's something there. So I brought it to him that day, and he, you know, I just played it for him on my iPod and plopped it up on his grand piano, and he listened to it, and he said, I love it.
Mm.
I could tell he was scared by it.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell it was something, because it's so out of the norm for him, and he didn't want to be, you know, later on, after it had been a successful marriage, he said, marriage of, you know, of artist and song, he said, I was really, really scared, Cheyenne, because I didn't want to be that guy where people go, oh, look, he's trying to sing that. That's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It just turned out that he jumped all the way in and really stretched himself musically, and that's the song that ended up being our title song, and the people that have heard the advanced copies keep pointing that out in particular. So
yeah. Well, and I also know that, I mean, you do some duets, you do some songs on your own on this CD.
Yep.
And you do the duet We Kiss in a Shadow from The King and I, and I have to say that I think for many people, hearing two men sing that song is such a revelation of bringing that song to a very modern context, of the hidden secrecy of a, you know, kind of the love that dare not speak its name.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, from The King and I, it's a different relationship, but,
that's right.
And I think that's something about you and your career. You know, was this ever a consideration for you to be out, for you to be singing on it obviously culminates on you producing your first CD, and you're singing We Kiss in a Shadow with Another Man. You're singing Someone to Watch Over Me with, you know, masculine pronouns. Did you ever think years ago, like consciously, I'm going to be out, I'm going to be in?
You know what? Once I came out at 19, 5 years ago. Yeah, right. once I came out, I was out. I was never, there was never even a thought of me sticking a toe back in. Anyone who knows me knows that, for better or worse, I'm just a really big, loud, open book. It's all I know how to do, and it's all I know how to be.
Mm-hmm.
I came out, I guess, in the press, in the New York Times, when I was doing All Shook Up, the Elvis show, maybe 5 years ago. Quite honestly, I feel like it's helped me become a better artist, because people get over that. You can get over the fact that once you get over the fact that you're gay, and that, you know, the first couple of years written about you once you come out, my friend Chris Sieber, who I'm sure you know, a big Broadway guy, he always jokes that his Christian name is Openly Gay, Chris Sieber, because there's never an article where they don't say Openly Gay as in the first part. But once that kind of dissipates and people can get past that and they can just judge you based on what you have to offer and your talent, then I think it's golden. And so now, I guess in the long way, to answer your question, I didn't really even think about it, you know, do I see myself in 10 years, you know, doing a, I just let things come. You know, I don't have a set plan for my career or for my next projects. Things come to me. I weigh it, talk to Monty about it. We think about it and go with it. And, mm-hmm. That's why this year has been so, so fulfilling because, you know. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, it's amazing now with you, with Neil Patrick Harris, with T.R. Knight. You know, the big thing was always that men couldn't do this. You know, men couldn't be on starring in television. They couldn't be leading men on Broadway. Even if we knew they were gay, we couldn't talk about it. God forbid they sing a love song with another man on a CD. And look at you. You're just doing it, aren't you? It's great.
Well, times are changing. I mean, yeah. Within the gay community, it's a frustrating thing on a daily basis for those of us that can't get married to our partners of 10 years. But I think if we look at the big picture and we see how far we've come and we see that it's six states now. Mm-hmm. I mean, things are changing, and this is a very exciting time. I know it feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back sometimes, but no, it's true. And as far as being representative of, you know, gay men on television and film and Broadway, I kind of bristle when I hear, you know, reviewers and columnists say, how if there's a straight actor and he's playing a gay role, they say, oh, he's just so brave. What mm-hmm. a brave choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? It's called acting. Mm-hmm. It's acting, people. I mean, it's just funny that I'm glad that things are changing, and I'm happy to be a part of that. But yes, I'm acting like I'm in love with this woman, or I'm acting like I do get it, but it is it's silliness to me.
Yeah, well, and I know because you said I'm just an open. I don't know what you said. You said I'm an open read, and I'm, you know, loud open read about who I am. But I know that mm-hmm. activism is important to you. And do you feel the fact that you are a role model, that you are breaking barriers, and what responsibility comes with that in the activism that you really lend your voice to, whether it's with HIV AIDS or other causes?
Yes. I mean, I think there's an innate responsibility, like it or not, it's there. And I realized that about 5 years ago. I never tried to fight it. You know, at first you're like, I don't want to be the poster boy for everybody. But then when you get the response and the fan mail and the these personal testimonies that I get from people, how much just me being me has affected the lives of strangers and, you know, young men and women from the square states mm-hmm. that feel trapped in their towns and in their families and their churches. I can't let that not affect me. So by giving back, it's the least I could do. I mean, my parents taught me that when I was 16, 17, 18, I always was doing charity work. It was part of, I mean, back then it had a religious slant because I went to a private Christian school and I went on mission trips. But mm-hmm. aside from the Christian aspect, it was the act of going into these places and helping dig ditches and working in the orphanages. It's something that for everything you give, everything you get, you have to give back. I just feel like that's the way the universe works.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've gotten really involved with AMFAR in the last few years, and it's so inspiring. And I hope to really deepen my relationship with them in the next couple of years. And of course, Broadway Cares and Hedrick Martin, and we adopted our dog. And so I work with Bernadette Peters, and I mean, yeah, listen, it's the least I can do, and I absolutely wish I had more time to do it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, you are having an impact, Mr. Mann. It's a big one.
Thank you.
And it's in all media and representing the GLBT community so well, and we're so lucky for it. Let me tell you, this CD, The Power of Two, the concert was hailed by the New York Times as passionate, groundbreaking. Variety said it's dazzling, entertaining. I tell you, it is a great CD that you're going to want to have on your shelf, in your iPod. So be sure to get The Power of Two. It is out on Harbinger Records, and you can get it Amazon, iTunes, any music store. Also, don't forget that Cheyenne is playing now to rave reviews in the revival of Finian's Rainbow at the Broadway St. James Theater. And if you want to keep up with Cheyenne, just go to CheyenneJackson.com. We'll have that linked in our show notes. Cheyenne, have a great run, and we will enjoy watching you as well on 30 Rock. So we will get to see you are in that little world.
I know.
Thanks so much, Cheyenne.
Thank you so much.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So Mitchell, Banner Day. Tall, dark, handsome, out. Mega star.
Amy, Cheyenne, that's Jackson. So sweet of you. Oh, not me.
Oh, not you.
Wait, the mega tall should have tipped me off.
The tall.
Yeah.
Just the tall. Everything else would be totally true of
totally
you.
Totally true.
Yes, totally yeah. true. But really charming to have him on. Everybody go download the CD, because it's
watch
really
how you say
great.
Going down.
And we're going to have to watch 30 go down. Don't go down. Go down on the CD.
Yeah, no, go down and get the CD.
Go download the CD. And,
don't say load either.
Oh, Lord.
You're just going down.
I can't. There's nothing I can do.
Well, you're saying it. I'm not saying it.
I know. You're thinking it now.
I know.
And you're pointing it out, highlighting it like the roots of my hair.
I know. No, your roots of... Oh, is that what you're wearing that... That schmata on your head?
No, it's because I did Pilates today.
Amy's dressed like Axl Rose. I just want you all to know that she looks like Axl Rose, like circa 88.
I love it, though. It's my little kerchief.
You look darling.
I literally bought this on the streets of Karpathos, the island that I was visiting in Greece, because the women wear them on the beach. And I said, this is totally going to make me look like Axl Rose. And you and Kelly, the same time
did she say
this
too?
Morning. Yeah, both said. And, my, you know, I was there with a friend who does my hair, who does my color, because God only knows what color my hair is, but Pam knows. So she is my hair color god. And Pam, I like looked at her and I was like, okay, you're kind of responsible for my hair. So what do you think of this? And she was like, only for the beach and for like workouts.
Yeah.
So I worked out today.
You may be running to Target beach. If you have to.
No, she would not. She
Speaking
would...
of, can we make a Target run this week?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
All right.
I need it.
Let's go now. Let's play some Barry Manilow loud.
Be loud.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I do have the ultimate Manilow, I'm just saying.
You are the ultimate Manilow. Oh, everybody, have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by... Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.